paid good money to see this movie. When they go out to a theater, they want cold sodas, hot popcorn, and no monsters in the projection booth.
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
Turn it off.
Kim's video? Excuse me?
A lot of things used to be here and they're gone.
Nobody rents videos anymore.
Do you know Kim's video?
I do.
Were you a customer?
I was.
And how was it?
Wow. I'm stepping into the gold mine of cool.
They had things that didn't exist, that never had come out.
I miss it so much.
We were actively cultivating rare films.
We would watch these guys in suits clear out rows and rows of VHS tapes. About a week or so later, Mr. Kim would come into the store and they would replenish the entire row with all new bootlegs.
Mr. Kim issued a public announcement.
앞으로의 그 미디어의 그 포맷의 형태는 어떤 그 한 포맷에 치우치질 않고 컴퓨터 산업과
Salimi promised to digitize the entire collection.
How could anybody think sending this entire thing to another country made more sense than NYU's?
I don't speak English.
Had no one else shared that with you? That's really weird. It's the thing. It's the promise.
We knew we'd never see it again. Probably was gonna just disappear.
Where are we going?
I don't know.
I didn't know what we were getting into.
This is where people go to get murdered.
Don't forget. Okay. They
already... It seemed like we could do something beautiful with this beautiful collection. And we didn't. I didn't really know who we were working with.
I am the local chief police.
We said film knowledge matters more than ownership over movies.
It was a theft.
There was a part of me that felt like, is this for real?
I turned to fiction movies to learn how to execute a heist.
La mafia a Salemi non esiste.
Hey folks, welcome to a special episode of The Projection Booth. I'm your host, Mike White. On this episode, I'm talking with David Redman and Ashley Sabin all about their new documentary, Kim's Video. It's a discussion of one of the most famous video stores in New York City that had quite an influence on other parts of the countries as well. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the interview.
I want to know how you started making films together, because from what I understand, you're actually a couple as well.
We're still a couple.
Mm-hmm. We survived.
We met about 20 years ago, I think.
Actually, 22.
22.
If you don't want to remember those 2 years, that's your joy. You want the love story? That's what you want? Or what do you...
Well, did you become coworkers first or fall in love first? What was the initial meeting?
Oh. No.
We were strangers who met and then decided to start spending time together. Our first date was a movie, and then we started attending different direct action protests and brought my camera with us. And then one thing led to another, and we ended up in Brooklyn together. Okay. Just a lot of different protests back in the day about globalization, and social class, and equality and all that. And then we really bonded during the making of Mardi Gras Made in China. And then when that movie premiered, we were a couple, and we continued making movies from that point forward. And here we are today, 22 years later.
What is the division of labor? How do you two work together when it comes to a project?
There's before children and after children. So before children, it was much easier in the sense that it was divided pretty equal. We're both shooting, both editing, both producing, both directing. Now with kids, that's why Kim's Video is the way it is. It's the first film where we had full hunt two children. So David went on the shoots. I think I maybe went on a couple, two or three shoots when we had childcare, but it's the childcare issue. But we found a way with Kim's Video to make it work in the sense that when David would go and then come back, and then our process is always to edit as we're going, I was able to have fresh eyes. So that was an interesting sort of upside to not being able to go.
But the truth is, she lost her Kim's Video membership card, and I had mine.
I think you stole it. So I don't think I lost it.
She wasn't allowed access to the collection like I was.
When did you realize that Kim's Video was going to be a project, that there was something to the story that really captivated you?
When the movies told me that they wanted to be freed and they wanted to go home, and home was back in New York City. So when I went into the collection, I knew at that point that they were going to leave. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, and something like that had never happened to me before. So all I had to do was listen. And so when you're talking about the division of labor, it was something that really came to us. And so both of us had to listen to how the form of the movie needed to be realized. And Ashley really pushed me in the direction to do some voiceover and give a bit of direction or guidance to the audience.
How many trips did you make to Italy?
I don't remember, maybe 20. Yeah.
How did you afford that? That's crazy.
We found a way to stay next to Sicily without actually living or staying in Sicily. And plus, as you see in the movie, much of the direction of it is movement. There's movement to New York City. There's movement to Rome. There's movement to Korea. There's movement to Sicily. And there's movements to different places throughout the movie. And it felt that way. And right now we're still dizzy. And it's been 7 years. It took 6 years to finish the movie. And here we are a year later, still dizzy, trying to recover.
Well, we always do bit by bit. Usually it's just the two of us, hence David not having a translator for a lot of the trips. It's a financial thing. We're just trying to be lean and mean. We have one credit card for the sole purpose of renting a car. We use the money that we get in from our other distribution of our other films. And it's just little increments of payments. So over the course of 6 years, it is a lot. But then in the end, it's when you're in the middle of it, it's not, because you're not taking on more than you can handle.
Yeah, because you're making stuff as you're making this documentary, right? There are other projects that you're working on at this time.
This was it for a long time. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what came out of Kim's Video was a movie, but also a book that we're trying to write. But
that's now, we're trying to do a fiction film based on Kim's Video. We have the book, like David mentioned, but in the 6 years, it was also COVID. There was a lot going on in those 6 years. And I think that also we have small children. It's like a juggling act. And we found the way, but that's why we're moving into the fiction realm. We've never made a fiction film, but we can't do another 6 year for one project. Our kids will be 16. I can't do it. Come on. Got to do something. Bang it out 2 years. That's it. Finished.
When it comes to your other projects, how do you choose them, or do they choose you like this one did?
It's a mixture. We've had where we've chosen. David heard the sound of a donkey in the middle of the night and then woke me up, and I was angry and he shared the sound, but it calmed me down, and we made a film about a donkey, and it was narrated by Willem Dafoe. Then another film, a woman approached us. She was a model scout, and we found ourselves in Siberia with young girls going to Japan. It's a real grab bag. I think the point for us is to really be open to that sort of sixth sense about things. If the story sticks enough and we've talked about it enough, then okay, let's make that plunge, you know?
But even this fiction script that we're writing now, we've never had this approach before, but really it begins to write itself. And we've heard people say this repeatedly, but we've never understood it. But now that it's happening, I fully understand what people mean by the script and the story begins to write itself. All we have to do is listen to it. We have to listen to the people we meet when they begin to speak about material that is already in the script, and they don't even know we're writing a script, right? And so Ashley and I look at each other, and literally our hair rises on our body. And we're like, we can't believe this has just happened. I can give you numerous examples, but I'm not going to bore you with those details, but I think you understand.
Is young man Kim going to be producing this new film?
Are you going to speak to him? Do you want to be our mediator and ask him?
No, we have a good relationship with him. We've never asked him for anything.
Except to go to Sicily and see the collection.
That's right. And so I think with him, it's really important for us to have a mutual respect and not ask for too much, because he's given a lot. So I don't think we would become, it doesn't feel right.
did you ever think that you would have to know so much about Italian politics before this started?
The funny thing is, we know less about Italian politics. The more we made the movie, the more confusing the politics became. And I think that's what is in the movie itself, the sheer amount of confusion about how the collection got lost, what happened to it, and then trying to figure out answers to these questions along the way. And I think this is one reason why we decided to include movie clips in the trajectory of the story. Blow Up, Blow Out, and The Conversation. All three of those movies have common themes of confusion. Did they really capture what they think they captured? And then that's what we were dealing with as well. That similar amount of confusion.
Yeah, the paranoia of those films definitely comes through as well. The authority figures, when that alarm starts going off, when you quote unquote broke in, that was a real bizarre moment for me. I can't even imagine what it was for you living that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. The door was open. We've talked to a lot of Sicilians and they're like, it's not that crazy. Like they leave a lot of doors open. And then the funny thing is, if you watch Enrico, who also did the musical, he's a composer and did the musical score, the majority of it. He's so funny because if you watch that really closely, like he opens it first and then he closes it. And then he tries to open it. He's like, no, it was locked, because he's scared. He's like trying to cover his ass. God damn it. I don't want the mayor to think I let this door open, unlocked. Even though it's normal for them, because, you know, it's trustworthy. People aren't busting in to the Kim's video collection.
People were. That's why so many movies were missing.
Oh,
that's so the door was missing. No, a lot of movies were missing.
Yeah.
Usually I ask filmmakers what were some of the biggest challenges that they had to overcome, but this whole movie feels like it was just a series of challenges. How did you keep going with it? What kept you motivated?
I think it really speaks to my background. As you see in the movie, rural Texas, working class, given nothing and trying to find, just throwing yourself into the world and appreciating what the world gives you. So I think that was the biggest challenge, is trying not to take on more than what we could handle and really trying to define the boundaries and listen to the direction of where the story should go. And so it was an exercise in patience, an exercise in tenacity and empathy, I would say.
Well, and just problem solution. That's our sort of life mantra. There's always going to be problems, but there's always going to be solutions.
When were you finished with the film and what was the reception like?
If you ask me, the film's unfinished.
Okay, let's not go there. It says that on every film.
No, but especially this movie.
Oh, come on.
The film officially premiered at Sundance in January 2023 in the section called Next. And I don't think it could have premiered in any other section because it's such a
bold and, yeah, it's a great section.
Fiction, it's nonfiction, it defies boundaries. And that's what Kim's video was about, the video store. It defied boundaries. And we tried to imitate the tapestry of Kim's video by weaving in the different genres of the movies in the movie itself. So even though it's a movie about movies, it's also an imitation of Kim's video.
It's just been a great reception. It's our first film that like brings out some real belly laughs. We've made some depressing films, let me tell you, and not by choice. It's just as there's a few that are like lighthearted, but man, this is the first one that's got good humor, which both of us love. And so it's such a joy, especially in the dark times that we're in, to watch the movie with an audience, hear them laugh, and then watch them stay afterwards to talk to each other. That's so great.
You make this nostalgic documentary, not nostalgic. You have some of that nostalgia in there, but it's not just nostalgia porn, for lack of a better term.
Dave and I both are really sensitive to sort of the manipulative editing, especially where you see it a lot in that comes out of Hollywood, where it's like it doesn't trust the audience. That's really important to us, to trust the audience. So that's why we set the film up as we did, which is David going on the journey, because it's how we experienced it. It's how he experienced it, trying to figure it all out. And so it's putting the trust in the audience to figure it out themselves.
And taking them, you know, along the ride. I am a passenger, right?
The Iggy Pop song.
The audience is the passenger.
So where are you in this new project? Are you still writing the script?
we got the script down. We got our actors. I think we just need two more actors and we have locations. We just need 20 grand. So you got, if anyone knows a money tree that we can like 20 grand just to, cause we're going to do the same model of just bit by bit. We don't want the whole budget up front. So I think we're going to shoot, our plan is to shoot starting in May, and then we'll have a July shoot and then hopefully edit over the summer and start the submission process.
Do you ever do crowdfunding?
Horrible. Traumatized with crowdfunding because I did a crowdfunding for our film girl model for outreach and we got it. It was 20K, but it was right after we got married. It was our damn honeymoon. That was the worst. He got so mad at me. He was like, why did you launch this now? And then I made the second mistake of doing it for Kim's video during when we premiered at Sundance. No,
it wasn't for Kim's video.
It was for it was basically to pay because Nick Brewer, Alex Ross Perry, and Sean Price Williams are volunteering to organize the collection. I think they should get paid. That's a job. And they live in New York City. So I launched a campaign on our release date at Sundance Film Festival, which people normally get employees. That was a bad idea, but I thought maybe I can manage it all. I had to end the campaign early. It was not a good idea. But now on our website, it's like a splash page where if someone wants to donate and put it into PayPal, it goes straight to Nick Brewer. I don't know if that's going to work either. But yeah, I don't know. Crowdfunding is not our bag of tricks.
Nick, Sean, and Alex have organized approximately 35,000 movies now on display in the basement of the Alamo, which is well-lit, fabulous colors, and really well organized.
Drafthouse had more like VHS shelves made. It's incredible because it's not a moneymaker. In a sense, it's a museum. I think people rent, but that's not where their source of revenue as a company. And the fact that these three guys are volunteering, it's just, to me, that's the love and joy that this collection can further create and we can all be a part of. I find a lot of happiness out of when I think about all that.
Now I'm confused. I didn't think there was a basement at the Alamo.
We say basement. Actually, it's the bottom floor.
Right. It is the basement. You go all the way to the bottom.
Yeah. It's not fair to say the basement. Hmm. Yeah. You're right.
You mentioned the website. What is the website? Where can people go to find out more about your projects?
CarnivalesqueFilms.com. So it's just Carnival and then ESQUE Films. And then .com.
Thank you so much for your time today. This was such a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, yeah, same.
Thank you.
Tonight. ride.